Recently, I read in the papers that our government is introducing something called amicable divorce, which is meant to make the divorce process less acrimonious, so that both parties or the children involved could be mentally and emotionally protected. Now, why does this come about, we ask? In the 1980s, the legal grounds for divorce can be based on three fraud based facts, that is adultery, unreasonable behavior, or desertion. Any of these fraud committed by either party in a marriage qualifies a person for divorce. But apparently, with the modern era, more marital complications arises. Both men and women demand more rights to end their marriage legitimately. And societal institutions set up to protect marriages can only relent and give in to the wants of couples who are bent on separation or divorce. So amicable divorce are introduced of late to minimize the blame towards any party in a broken marriage. Now, while not attributing any faults to anyone in a broken marriage makes it easier for couples who are going through the process of divorce, but it also indirectly makes it easier for the attempt of divorce. Now, of course, no one marries to get divorced, but do we struggle hard enough to save a marriage? Now, marital complications can be one of the most difficult issues to deal with. And we have to know that the societal institutions can only react to whatever complications that might arise out of marriage. What they propose can never be where we Christians find direction for marital breakdown. Why? Because the world can never deal with the root issue, as they are ignorant of the marital biblical principle that God has ordained. Now, to put it plainly, in biblical terms, marriage is the entering into a covenant between a man and a woman to be committed to each other in whatsoever situation for their whole life. So a divorce is the breaking of a covenant to start with. There are couples who broke that covenant because they felt they are no longer in love. There are those who give up because they are unable to change each other. There are those who claim domestic violence, who claim desertion, who claim a mental sickness, or who claim adultery as the reason for divorce. It is hard, of course, for the person involved in a marital rift, and those involved usually want the other party to bear the brunt of the breakup. Yet, what does God say about the ending of a marriage? Can there be situations where a divorce could be warranted? Now listen, first of all, we have to understand what is a God-defined marriage. Marriage is a covenant, and a covenant is a solemn agreement between two persons, and the agreement is tied by the terms of agreement. If the terms of the agreement is broken, then strictly speaking, a divorce could be allowed. So in a covenant marriage before God, there are, of course, God-given commandments tied to it. People who enter the marital covenant are tied to the terms, or we could say the commandments of that covenant. And breaking that commandment will give either party the right to end the marriage. While death on one part will end the marital covenant, I see there are two other covenant-breaking situations that will end a marriage. The first one, of course, in Jesus' own words, is when fornication is committed by either party in a marriage. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, the Lord said, "But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Now, it is very clearly stated here that when the marriage bed is defiled, when adultery happens in a marriage, the covenant of the marriage is broken, and by the law of God, it can be terminated. And the other reason that can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, which is spoken in the context of desertion of the spouse due to faith. It says here, but if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. So strictly speaking, adultery and desertion because of faith could legitimize a divorce. And either party is not bound in such a situation. But let me say this. When a term or condition is laid down, people may abuse it. There are those who are bent on divorce may claim suspected adultery. There are those who claim their non-believing partner is preventing them from practicing their faith. Or there are those who tries to make disputable claims that their spouse violates these terms in indirect ways. I mean, let us not be deceptive before God. When we make those claims, have we really considered the relative situations? For instance, the one who claimed that your spouse committed adultery, ask whether you have forced your spouse to the brink of doing so. I mean, there's no excuse, but there are many things to consider. But the law doesn't deal with such things. The law is merely a black and white directive. So with that said, you must be clear conscience before God. If you are considering a divorce and trying hard to find reasons to do so, if you are not right before God, you will be subject to more shame and pain after your divorce. Now, don't think that you can just end this marriage and live happily ever after in another marriage. I mean, if you are in the midst of contemplating, consider carefully, either for yourself and for your children. Don't make rash decisions. But if you are already in your second or third marriage, please, for God's sake, stop following your feelings. Understand that marriage is not about feelings. It is a covenant. Don't be a covenant breaker all your life. And if you feel that by those two commandments broken, you can freely divorce, think about how God came to save us, His bride. Even though we've deserted Him, we broke all His commandments and committed spiritual adulteries for most of our lives. I mean, didn't God save His own marriage with us through His blood? I mean, let's pray deeper as we consider how God deals sacrificially with the institution of marriage. And having said that, I also understand that there are instances where one party in a marriage is totally being abused by the other, whether mentally, emotionally, or physically, and not once but on a constant basis. There are such cases when lives are being endangered if a person continues living in such a marriage. There are exceptional cases like that, of course. Now, the Bible didn't exactly specify that such a situation allows for a divorce. But our God is a loving and sound God. Though He gives a hard and fast principle against divorce, He is a God that protects lives also, especially that of His children. So if our lives will be endangered or totally devastated by such a marriage, my view is go for separation first. And if in the midst of separation, the inflictor in a marriage doesn't come to his or her senses, it ultimately warrants a divorce. Now, as I've said, marriage is a very complicated issue. While the most bliss can be gained out of it, it could also be the most dangerous place where we could be hurt unconsolably. While there are many marriages that are breaking down and far from perfect, let us all the more know that there will be a perfect marriage which Christ will bring ultimately at the end of age. It will be the final consummation between Christ and His church, where there will no longer be any pain and disappointment.